Welcome to the Risk and Repeat podcast, episode number 207. I'm Rob Wright, Security News Director at TechTarget, and I am here with Senior Security News Writer Alex Kalafi. Alex, welcome.
Thanks, Rob.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. In a personal sense, I'm doing great. In a professional context, I'm also doing well. But the things I cover are not doing well, if that makes sense.
Yes. It's been a busy start to the year.
Yeah.
I guess even going back to late last year, we are recording this, I should say, on Tuesday, April 4th. It is a sunny morning here in the Boston area, but yeah, not so sunny in terms of breaches and cyber attacks. A lot of high profile hacks, attacks, compromises, ransomware campaigns, ransomware attacks. It's been rough for some of the big names out there. And today we're talking about 3CX, which I don't know that they're a big name. I didn't know of them until this story. I'm sure the folks on TechTarget's unified communication side, I'm sure they know them. They're a pretty significant vendor, UC vendor. According to their website, they have 600,000 customers worldwide, 12 million daily active users. It seems like a lot. So IP telephony, web conferencing, etc. So 3CX, not great news last week. They issued a security advisory, what was it, Thursday morning? Alex?
Yeah, a lot of the big stuff happened on Thursday, though. I think there was some lead up on Wednesday that was sort of suggesting this stuff was going down, if I remember right.
Yes. So tell us what happened. This is not a great situation, and I hate using the dreaded three word here, but this was a supply chain attack, was it not?
This was a supply chain attack, and in fact, the company itself describes what happened as a supply chain attack, which means that it is pretty unanimously a supply chain attack. So, they first confirmed it last week on Thursday via a blog post that their CISO, Pierre Jordan, wrote. He said that multiple versions of 3CX's Electron Windows app, specifically the Windows app, were affected by malicious code that he said was the result of a targeted attack from an advanced persistent threat, perhaps even state-sponsored, that ran a complex supply chain attack. Now, that's pretty serious of an accusation, but a lot of the bigger details came out after, like, not counting this post.
The day before, right?
Yeah. So other security vendors like CrowdStrike and a couple others as well.
Sentinel was the other one. Yep.
The other big one. But Jordan said that the CISO said, Jordan said that the attack vector appeared to be one of the bundled libraries that we compiled into the Windows Electron app via Git. Now, this is interesting because while they didn't name names for what that bundled library was, CrowdStrike and SentinelOne both referenced the a DLL attached to FFmpeg, which is a very popular, borderline ubiquitous in some cases, multimedia framework.
Yes.
And it was a ffmpeg.dll file that appeared to be the central nexus for a lot of the compromise.
Mm-hmm.
The CISO sort of referenced the bundled library being the cause, and then the same day, their CEO, Nick Galea, wrote that the breach occurred because of an upstream library that they use became infected, which doesn't say it outright, and in fact it doesn't name FFmpeg, but he was effectively saying, from I would say any reasonable reader's perspective, that this it is a supply chain attack, but 3CX was not the first one in that chain. It right. was this upstream library.
Yep.
Then it got a little spicy because FFmpeg, which is one of those like, you know, open source foundation-y non-profit-y type deals, FFmpeg yes. weighed in and they said via tweet, there have been several incorrect reports that FFmpeg has been involved in the distribution of malware. FFmpeg only provides source code and the source code has not been compromised. Basically saying that, like, hey, we don't do compiled binaries. We didn't make this file. This isn't our problem. Which is fair. And then a Monday update, an April 1st update from the company. Or was it Monday?
I think it was Saturday.
Saturday.
April 1st.
Saturday.
Yeah, of course April it was 1st. April 1st.
Yeah, yeah. Great little April Fool's Day bit right there. Which was from Galea, which no longer mentioned FFmpeg. And Galea also sort of seemingly backtracked a bit, saying like, hey, it was here, like the Trojan was here, but we didn't say it was their fault. Which is a little bit of, it's important, and he's been saying the right stuff on Twitter, but kind of, my opinion is sort of that they went a little out of the gate, a little eager to push some of the blame off themselves, but that's my own editorializing. And the last note is that CrowdStrike and I think some other folks, I think there was another report that came out yesterday as of this recording, if I remember right, basically saying that North Korea, specifically the Lazarus group, the TTPs for this attack lined up with another attack from March that Lazarus group did, which is basically saying like, this could have been a North Korea thing. And then they also said that, or 3CX also said they're engaging Mandiant. So that's everything that's going on right now. There's a supply chain attack, which is one of the worst types of attacks you can have against this Windows app.
And the Mac app. Well, they said it looked right. Do I have that right? That it said that they thought that certain versions of the Mac app might be affected, but
a bunch of versions, and it definitely expanded over the course of the days which ones were. And in fact, I believe the advice is still just uninstall this. Yep. I think there are alternatives, but like uninstall this app. And then like maybe North Korea was responsible. And also there has been this push and pull over who was at the top of the supply chain. But as of this moment, it does appear that 3CX is the primary victim.
Yes. So
kind of messy.
It's kind of messy. And I think, you know, looking at this, like you said, right now, given FFmpeg's denial, given the evidence that they laid out saying, you know, hey, we don't have a DLL. That's not us. That's something that, I mean, I suppose it still could be an infected library that was compromised. This is something that we have seen a lot lately. We've seen a number of open source projects and libraries that have been seeded with malicious code, backdoors, whatever, crypto, you know, it's happened more than a few times with some, you know, big projects, software that a lot of folks use. So I suppose it's still possible, but it's looking, like you said, it's looking more likely like this could have been a direct compromise of 3CX's development environment or infrastructure. And I suppose that's far worse for 3CX as a company, as an entity, because they can't blame some other open source, you know, or some organization for the supply chain attack. But I guess the end result is the same for users, for customers. I mean, they still downloaded an app that was malicious, that was legitimately signed, that was that appeared to be above board and was not. And that's why supply chain attacks scare the hell out of folks. And we'll talk a little bit later about whether that fear is justified. But I want to go back to I guess, the start of all this, because even though CrowdStrike, their report on Wednesday morning last week kind of kicked all of this off, you know, they pushed out a blog post. It said, you know, the signed executable for 3CX's desktop phone app was is exhibiting malicious activity. There's evidence of deployment of second stage payloads, connections to C2 infrastructure, and they were first to sort of pin this on APT-38 or Lazarus Group from North Korea. But prior to that, there was chatter on the 3CX user forum the week before, so 2 weeks ago, where people saying, hey, you know, my EDR, my XDR, my Sentinel-1, CrowdStrike Falcon, whatever, is flagging 3CX's app. And they would chime in on the forum and say, you know, this was uninstalled by my threat detection vendor, my EDR vendor, whoever. And they would, you know, the response from the organization from 3CX was, well, you should contact them because it shouldn't be removing the app or uninstalling the app or flagging it as malicious. It's not. It's our app. It's fine. Which I totally get, at least initially. You know, you're a forum moderator, you're an administrator, you're even on the technical team, whatever, and you're chiming in there. At the first glance, something like that happens, and we have false positives all the time with anti-malware programs, antivirus programs, even EDR. Sophisticated as it is, I get it. But this went on in many threads for many days across different vendors, different security vendors, Sophos, ESET, CrowdStrike, Sentinel-1, all saying the same thing. And they didn't do anything. Like they didn't act. They didn't say, oh, this is 2 or 3 days of this, of these reports coming in. Something's up. Something's up. We have to stop what we're doing and look at the app. And I think in some of his tweets, I think the CEO, I think Gallia basically admitted like, hey, we should have acted sooner. And I wish I had the tweet in front of me, cause he's tweeted a lot the last few days, or the last week. They should have jumped on it sooner. Cause I don't know how you look at that much sort of feedback from users and think like, it's gotta be someone else's fault. So that's strike one against them. And now strike two, as you said, to come out of the gates, I guess before the evidence had really been analyzed by Mandy. I mean, you hire Mandy, and I assume that's one of the things that they're going to be looking at is just inspecting all of your code. If you think at least one or two versions of your apps are compromised, you know, the Mac and the Windows version. But to come out and basically say, we think it's X, and now to apparently to say, hey, maybe it's Y, not great. Not a great incident response here. And I don't think we're being uncharitable either.
No.
So where do you, so supply chain attacks in general, like I said, they freak people out. Do you think that fear is justified? Because everybody remembers SolarWinds. And this is, I want to just clarify. We'll get to the North Korea side of this in a minute and some of the stuff that we've been told from, you know, sources and other security experts. SolarWinds was bad. That was a bad attack. It was cataclysmic. But it wasn't like, you don't see that type of thing happen all the time. And 3CX, it's not good, but like, it's not on the level of SolarWinds, at least so far that we've seen. This isn't compromises of federal networks. This is, you know, It seems like it's hackers downloading malware, information stealing malware, and then trying to get cryptocurrency, which matches up with the North Korea side of things. But how serious do you think supply chain attacks are? Do you think like people are overreacting to this topic and this threat, given what happened with SolarWinds?
Well, I get it, because from even a narrative perspective, even if you don't think about what's practically going on, you're trusting a company to provide you a service that works, that you just sort of set it and forget it. In some cases, this is not specifically about 3CX. I don't know exactly how their business works, but generally speaking, you're paying a company to handle some sort of thing for you, and you trust them. And in some cases, they even will manage stuff for you. And to have a breach get through them and then affect your business, right? And in a way that would bypass, theoretically, antivirus, and in a lot of cases, for it to become a supply chain attack, that's scary. That's a worst case scenario from a security standpoint, because the business, they're the people you're supposed to trust, and you using their product is causing damage to your business. So it makes sense that people are scared. As for how bad it is, I guess the cop-out answer is like, well, it depends on the attack. The SolarWinds one was really big. This one is probably pretty serious, but is smaller. So it's hard to say. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I got to say, I'm a little encouraged by the fact that, you know, we had so many different security vendors flag this app, you know, before anyone had really taken a hard look at the executable, you know, before CrowdStrike's post. And there are people, again, on the forums being like, this is unusual behavior. You know, not just the you know, the security vendors programs flagging this desktop app, but just seeing what it was doing. And I think that's good. That's really good, because like you said, that's not the type of thing that EDR, XDR, what have you, anti-malware, you know, you have a valid certificate. You are cross-signed, like you're above board. It's confirmed to be from the vendor. It's not something that's usually, you know, most anti-malware programs of old didn't take a hard look at those types of applications and software, and they just sort of, you know, kind of let them do their own thing, because it used to be these guys, maybe not all of them, but some of the antivirus vendors were tired of getting complaints from software makers because their apps were being flagged as malware, and they'd get ticked off. They're like, we don't want to deal with this grief. So, you know, maybe they tweaked their programs a little bit to just not pay as much attention to them. Who knows? I know that this happened years ago with in gaming, which is an area you and I are very fond of.
Sure.
I'm trying to remember what program it was, but there was a DRM program that was in a lot of games that was being flagged.
Denuvo?
I can't remember. This is like 15 years ago.
Okay.
But it was being flagged by a lot of antivirus programs because it basically had a rootkit. I mean, not basically. It did have a rootkit. God, this is going to bug me. I would look it up right now, but that's not great audio for the podcast. I will hopefully find it later for my own.
But actually, there is a long history of that in video games, like either having spyware unintentionally or not realizing it was spyware. there's a lot of that.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the fact that, you know, we have these programs now. We have pretty good defense products. You know, I make fun of EDR and XDR as like buzzwords, but it's true. Like, they caught it. Good. this is good. Like we the royal we, the collectively, the,
sure,
the InfoSec industry got this stuff. It had only been out there for, you know, maybe a week. You know, the timeline's a little fuzzy on this for when the apps were first deployed and how, like, when they activated, because I think analysis of the code said that it only deployed certain or downloaded certain malware or activated certain functions on certain systems, and it waited a week to do that in a lot of cases. So it's, the timeline's a little, it's not totally definitive here for everyone, or totally lined up, but that's good. I would say the caveat to that is that, and I think some folks have pointed this out to us, you know, folks I talk to, folks our colleague Ariel have talked to on this subject, is that, you know, this was North Korea, and North Korea, the Lazarus Group, has gotten a lot more skilled, I would say, over the last however many years. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten a lot more bold, a lot more daring. But this isn't Russian nation state hacking. So they did stuff here and they got caught. And, you know, maybe next time it's not them. Maybe next time it's China or Russia again. And that's concerning. And it's, so I think there's good and bad here, in terms of the big picture about supply chain threats. And I should mention there was a blog post that I read that I thought was really good, even though I don't know if I totally agree with it. So Kelly Shortridge, she is a security professional with Fastly. She wrote a really good piece. And it's on her blog. It's "Attackers Have Better Things to Do Than Corrupt Your Builds." And the basic argument is, there's too much fear-mongering about your CI/CD pipelines and your development environments. The attackers aren't going after it. There's a little too much like hype about this space right now, because there are a lot of vendors and a lot of products coming out to specifically address supply chain attacks and to shore up development environments to make sure this type of thing doesn't happen. And I think she makes some good points in this piece, but then again, you see something like this happen, and if all the signs are pointing right now, most of the signs are pointing to a direct compromise of 3CX's development environment, that's not good. That's not good. And so I wonder, like, is, if we're in like an in-between point of, you know, a little too much panic and a little too much concern about, you know, post-SolarWinds, about such a cataclysmic hack, but maybe not enough attention and not enough focus on the problem, because it does seem like this thing is a significant threat, maybe not a widespread threat, but a significant one. If you can just pwn one UC vendor and then have something like this happen, obviously not great. And I don't know enough about CI and CD pipeline security. I've only just started really getting into it and writing about it in certain articles. And so I don't know a lot, but it just seems like the blast radius for something like this, don't you think it's pretty significant? If you could just hack one company and spread your malware and get a presence on, you know, thousands of networks, doesn't that seem like...
Mm-hmm. I think so. I think you're right about that, but I want to shift gears and get a little more specific. So with the SolarWinds attack, that was thought to have been caused by Russia, right?
Yes. Pretty certain at this point, yeah.
Pretty certain caused by Russia, right? This appears to have some TTPs that are tied to North Korea state-sponsored actor, Lazarus Group. Yes. So my question for you is, like, yes, it's bad, but what do you think North Korea is trying to do? Do you think they're trying to do crypto scams? Do you think it's crypto scams more than espionage?
Yeah,
I think you have to choose with an attack which one of the two you're going to do.
Well, Kaspersky's report yesterday, they posted something.
Oh, yeah, they did do one. Yep.
Yeah, and they followed up on this, you know, the research that other folks had put out. They analyzed the malware. They looked at the desktop app, and they found that it wasn't just an information stealer that was being deployed. It looked like there was this backdoor called GoPurim.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had noticed that this had, like you said, it had been deployed in previous attacks. I think going back to, do I have this right? 2020. And it seemed like the pattern was there that these were being deployed inside of organizations that had, that were either cryptocurrency companies or had cryptocurrency on hand and using that to basically steal the crypto. So if that is what's happening and that's all that's happening, I think you're right. I think that this, like, compared to SolarWinds, you dodged a major bullet here. And I say you, I'm talking about customers, because it doesn't, again, there's not a lot of reports. I mean, I haven't seen many, not sure if you have, but
no,
of organizations saying, yes, we were compromised in this. We had the information stealer. We had a presence on our network and we lost crypto. I haven't seen a lot of that yet. I've seen some organizations say, we detected the malicious app and we uninstalled it, but no sign of any further issues. So again, I think it doesn't seem like that's, compared to SolarWinds, that's you dodged a bullet, because with that type of access, with a backdoor, I don't know. I mean, even with the detections early on from SentinelOne and CrowdStrike, you could still do a lot. You could have deployed ransomware. You could have wipers, destructive attacks. It could have been worse. It doesn't seem like it's at that stage or didn't reach that stage. I don't know. Do you agree?
Yeah, no, I think you're right about it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's not to say that, I mean, that we should just be giving 3CX a pass, though, right?
In so far as you can't give any person at the center of a data breach or anything that could compromise a customer a pass.
Yeah, I maybe I'm being a little too hard on them, but it just feels like
if the circumstances, I guess we don't know enough yet, right?
Yeah, but if the circumstances of this had been, like, let's say that this was, you know, like the VMware ESXi ransomware attacks,
mm-hmm.
and someone had launched a campaign, and they weren't just dropping an info stealer, and they weren't just placing a backdoor, and they weren't just trying to get crypto from like a select few organizations, it looks like. Let's say they were just indiscriminately dropping ransomware.
Right.
I think you could look back on this scenario with 3CX and say, they really messed up. And this is on them, because they wasted time in between, you know, the reports initially coming in from customers and the point that CrowdStrike, you know, sounded the alarm and said, yeah, this app is malicious. This app has been compromised. And that's about a week. I think it was about a week. Might have been a little bit more. Might have been 8 days.
I think it was roughly a week, though. Sounds right.
Yeah. That's valuable time, you know, in these scenarios. You know, we talk about dwell time all you know, till we're blue in the face.
Yeah.
And I think that would have been something that would have been a killer for 3CX if something like that had happened. And if it's just some customers have to clean up their systems and some customers maybe lost some crypto, it's not catastrophic, but yeah, I think the response here leaves a lot to be desired. And again, I think the CEO has admitted as much on Twitter and in forum posts and what have you, but I think it's significant enough that it deserves, you know, criticism and discussion about how it should have and could have been a lot better. So
that's fair. I agree with that.
I don't know what this says for supply chain attacks going forward either.
Probably nothing.
You don't think so? So that's interesting. I think people are going to seize on this. Like, just to say, we need to shore up our pipelines. We need to shore up our development environments. They're too easy to get into. There's too many permissions. We're too loose with data. We think that no one's going after them. And clearly some threat groups are, some nation state threat groups are very much interested in those environments and getting in there. And again, I think Kelly Shortridge is right that pendulum may have swung a little too far on the FUD side, but I think it's significant that we have a few attacks like this that have happened recently over the last few years, not just SolarWinds. And I can see this becoming like a real talking point at shows and amongst vendors and startup vendors getting a lot of money to solve this issue, to better detect supply chain attacks and to shore up the software supply chain in general, especially the latter.
You think a 3CX breach reaches that threshold of encouraging serious change? Because
not by itself, but I think that this is a pretty high profile incident. And I do think industry folks are going to seize on it. Yeah, I do.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like that three letter word, supply chain attack, I mean, it sends shivers down people's spines.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to be impactful. You seem a little bit more skeptical,
though. It's specifically whether this is the attack. I agree that supply chain attacks are close to having their ransomware moment, but I don't know if 3CX is the one that gets over that threshold. Yeah. And I would almost pessimistically say that you got to wait for it to be one, a bigger vendor, or two, a big vendor that the U.S. government uses to a significant degree. I think we're still missing the thing that gets President Biden to release some sort of statement about it, right?
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. I don't know.
That you make a great point though about the size and just the particulars. Like, this is no disrespect to 3CX, but if this was like, you know, Zoom or Cisco WebEx or something like that, I think, yeah, you're probably right. It would be more. It would permeate the consciousness a little bit more.
Like, it's a bullet point, but I don't think it is the conversation that will occur. Is my prediction. I think it'll be part of a different conversation and a worse one, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, I guess I'm sure we will be looking at more supply chain attacks as time goes on, as 2023 progresses. So I'm sure we'll have opportunities to revisit this and to kind of gauge where we're at, if who's more correct in their assessment of how this is going to impact the industry, the community at large. So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, Alex, I appreciate you. Well, I appreciate you writing the story yesterday. Also appreciate you hopping on the pod with me to discuss the latest three letter word incident, supply chain attack. I appreciate it.
Anytime, Rob.
And thank you to the readers and listeners of Tech Target Security and the Risk and Repeat podcast. I'm Rob Wright. We'll see you next time.